This is KUOW. I'm Bill Radke. Welcome. We are on Twitter at KUOW. Welcome to another warm and rainless day in the Pacific Northwest. Our top story today is the national debate over sanctuary cities playing out now in Burien. Back in January, the city made it illegal for city employees to ask residents about their immigration status. Last night, in a tense meeting, the Burien City Council decided to vote on whether to keep Ordinance 651.
651, as an ordinance, was simply put forward as a cheap political trick. Excuse me, I don't think you can be out of order. Thank you.
Please respect the speaker.
Please respect the speaker.
Good evening. What kind of seed are we planting for tomorrow? You know, it's very hard for me to go to my grocery store, have some man come turn around and tell me, your president is gone, you're going back home. I helped build this country. Just ask yourself, what community are we trying to build?
One of the speakers last night was Craig Keller, who led an effort to repeal Burien's sanctuary policy. Again, it's going to go to a public vote. Craig is founder of the group Respect Washington. Craig, welcome to KUOW.
Good morning.
Why do you want Burien to drop its so-called sanctuary city policy?
Sanctuary cities are a protection racket for criminal activity, a protection racket for support of political activity as well, that derives financial support from lawless activity, including the employment of people ineligible to work in the United States.
You think the city council members who passed this ordinance in the first place did it because they wanted to be a protection? They wanted Burien to be a protection racket?
They don't want to be called a protection racket, but they are effectively being a protection racket for this unlawful activity.
We're also joined by Pedro Olguin, who is a Burien resident and candidate for the Burien City Council. Pedro, welcome to you.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Why do you support Burien's so-called sanctuary city? I say so-called because there's no official definition of a sanctuary city, but you support this policy. Pedro, why?
In our city, we have Ordinance 651 that still stands right now until the results in November. Mm-hmm. We are actually not a sanctuary city. That's a misnomer. What we have as an ordinance is ensuring that our city employees are not profiling folks based on their ethnicity and how they look or the accent that they have. And we want to ensure that our city does not have a religious test.
And why are these policies good for the city of Burien?
Well, over a third of our residents in Burien come from an immigrant background. We want to make sure that people feel safe and comfortable going and approaching the city where they live, should they have needs to pay, let's say, taxes or utility bills. Or if there is a crime in the community, we want to make sure that there's a network that they can go ahead and access and go to the city and ask for services and make sure that crimes are being reported without the fear of them being asked their legal status.
And are you saying the current policy or the policy that was in place and would be back in effect if the voters voted against this ordinance? What's your evidence that it's making people feel unsafe, making people feel like they don't have access to the city's services?
Well, I think there's studies nationally that do reflect that when you have a sanctuary ordinance, people feel more inclined to go to their cities to report crime. In fact, in national studies, sanctuary cities are safer.
Craig, I have seen studies like that, like from UC San Diego and others, that show sanctuary jurisdictions are, in fact, safer than places that police people's residency. What is your response to that argument?
The response is that those studies are bogus because they don't have access to the true data. In fact, the prime thing that sanctuary ordinances do, like in Burien, like in Seattle, like in King County, like in Spokane, they prohibit the recording or maintenance of data. They prohibit someone coming in, say, for a Section 8 housing application. They prohibit any request of what their immigration status is. You know, as for me, I think those kind of benefits should be going to those that are lawfully in the United States, number one, okay? So none of the studies that are out there are any good because right now we have politicians that are actively subverting the collection of that data. That includes King County Executive Dow Constantine, Sheriff Urquhart. Now they do not even list on the inmate jail registry at King County whether this person has an ICE detainer on them. You cannot find this anymore, this data anymore, as you did, maybe could do 2 years ago. Well, more than that, 2013 was when the county passed their officially sanctuary ordinance. So it's a very deliberate attempt to withhold information from the public so that we can make informed decisions.
And what about the idea of people being unsafe and shut out, Craig? I've seen sheriffs beyond King County across the country say that the way to encourage people to cooperate with law enforcement is not to keep them in the shadows, as it were. Is that a downside to what you're saying?
There are definitely lots of victims of crime committed by illegal aliens, and probably a lot of them are family members or acquaintances of those illegal aliens. A lot of them are illegal themselves. So we know this, you know, where you live, you're subjected to crime committed by people you know and live close to. So there definitely people need to be protected. The more illegal alien or the greater that population is, the more difficult it is to police it. And like I say, back to this definition of protection racket, when you sort of favor or give favor to a group, the code of silence, if you will, what have you, in those communities, then you have more problems. Our country has often rejected that type of policing.
Pedro, what's your reaction to these arguments? You've heard them before.
I'm incredibly baffled by Mr. Craig's statements. I think they're loaded political rhetoric to keep pushing a xenophobic agenda. And it's unfortunate that he would use national Trump-like rhetoric in Burien. I mean, the reality is, Craig, that our city does not have the capacity economically or in terms of policy impact to really make a difference in a national immigration debate that's broken. We know we have a system that needs reform. There's 11 million undocumented immigrants. No human being is illegal. Their only crime, if you would, was to cross the border without inspection. That's an administrative law process. Now, are there bad elements? Let's agree on this. There's bad elements across our society, and it doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter your ethnicity. It doesn't matter who you are. The reality is that there's bad apples in our society. But to make blanket statements that because individuals lack status makes them more of a criminal element is just preposterous. And unfortunately, that's what you're bringing to our community. It's a divisive initiative. One is a divisive initiative to really bring out the more conservative elements in our election for November. And I just want to know how much you're coordinating with some of these council members that are currently running, especially like Debbie Wagner. I mean, that information needs to be disclosed. How much have you all have been in collaboration in that effort?
You want to talk about your political activity, Craig?
I welcome it. But let's get back to the facts. Right now in the Federal Bureau of Prisons, there are 42,000 illegal aliens incarcerated and paid for three hots and a cot by you and me and every other listener in this room. In Washington State Department of Corrections, there are nearly 1,000 illegal aliens. Now there's 39 county jails. There's plenty of them in there too. This is just data that people need to know. And sanctuary cities have invited this. Sanctuary cities have invited human trafficking. I mean, how many of the poor Central Americans who were baked to death in the Walmart parking lot down in Houston, you know, a couple of weeks ago in the back of that truck, were on their way to welcoming cities like Seattle, like Burien, like Spokane.
You know, Craig,
nobody can tell us this, but that is what's happening.
Again, the studies that have reached me come to the conclusion that immigrants and undocumented immigrants are less likely to commit crimes.
Well, Bill, just as I explained
population.
Before, you don't have the data. I'd love to see you get the data because you guys are great in your research here at KUOW. Your government has denied you this data.
Okay. Craig, you live in West Seattle. How would you know what is best for the community of Burien and why do you care so much?
Well, the Burien happens to be in the 34th Legislative District where I've been active politically for the entire time I've lived in Seattle. It's part of the 7th Congressional District. So across the two congressional campaigns that I have campaigned for, it's definitely been a part of an area that I have wanted to represent and that I have wanted to share the truth with of the research that I have done.
Pedro, the Trump administration has threatened to withhold federal funding from cities with sanctuary-type policies. Again, we've said that's a very vague term, and we don't know if that would happen to Burien, but what are you willing to give up if it comes to that to keep this policy in place?
Well, the reality is that we have a federal system that has a division between state and federal governments. And so until the state of Washington makes a statewide ordinance saying we are a sanctuary state or we're not, and municipalities can engage in implementing their own sanctuary ordinances, we're within the scope of the law. In fact, that's why Ron Emanuel from Chicago actually filed suit to make sure that those kind of empty threats are not being done. Now, what the Trump administration has said in their executive order is that they want to ensure that there's communication. And so if the federal government comes to a local jail and, you know, we know that King County has a zero tolerance, it doesn't matter whether you have legal status or not. What's going to end up happening is that they're going to provide the information when they're asked. I think it shouldn't be the other way around, where cash-strapped communities like ours have to enforce unfunded mandates. And that's exactly what Mr. Keller wants to do. It's obvious that Mr. Keller has a political lean, and what he wants to do is run for political office. And by all means, run for political office. That's not the reality. That's not the community that we have in Burien.
Pedro, the city council voted again last night to let Burien voters decide the issue this fall, to decide on this ordinance that's law right now. What's wrong? Is there anything wrong with letting the public vote on so-called sanctuary status?
As Mr. Keller knows, he hired several canvassers that were not from our community. They went in there and very adamantly went and hackled people to ensure that they would get their signature on a petition. And that talks to the fail rate when they submitted their petition to King County Elections. They had over a 25% fail rate in their verification of their signatures. That's really high and atypical. But that said, what we want to make sure in Burien is that people do have a voice. It's very sad that the only legal options that were left on the table was to either reject Initiative 1, which would expose us to a lawsuit that actually Mr. Keller is part of, or we would have turned around and had to put it in front of voters. Unfortunately, that's where we're at right now. And it's very sad that many of our city council members who were against Initiative 1 had to take that vote last night.
Craig, what are you going to do to try to get this Burien ordinance voted down?
You know, to answer your prior question, though, is there's absolutely nothing wrong to let the voters choose on this. It's provided for in state law. It's people power. It's, you know, we are so blessed in this state to have a relief valve that the citizens, when they're unsatisfied and are asked politely to sign a petition and collect those in sufficient number to put these questions to the ballot. We are so blessed with that. And so there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And the other side has done all they could to subvert that, including adjourn the meeting two meetings ago in Burien. But they're not going to be successful. And we're also blessed with having a separate branch of government called the courts, where we can go to when there is abuse of power and violation of state law, where we can correct an injury. So that's exactly what we've done. And we do have a case pending now that we'll have a hearing at 2:30 on Friday in Kent.
Vote coming in November?
Oh, yes. This is what the city council voted to do.
Yep.
And it's exactly what the citizens wanted. It's exactly what the state law provides for.
West Seattle resident Craig Keller, founder of RespectWashington.us.
Correct.
Right? And Pedro Olguin is a Burien city council candidate. I want to thank both of you for coming in, letting us know the debate that's happening in Burien. A lot of us are paying attention to this. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
My pleasure.